Hello, and welcome again to another FHN All Day podcast here. School has just ended. We have gone 8.5 hours so far. Doing pretty good. Kind of tired. But here to rejuvenate us is Miss Stoker. And
Yo, AP.
Yo, that's the spirit. Miss Stoker is an AP literature teacher here at Francis Howell North, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Actually, my AP literature teacher.
Yes.
So now, as an AP teacher, what was your initial reaction? Because AP has moved the AP testing, the sign-up deadline was moved way up to November here.
Yeah.
Not even done with first semester. How do you feel about that?
Not happy. I think every teacher, I'm on chat rooms with other AP Lit teachers around the country, and everybody's fearful because it's, we're at early in the year still, and students just don't have the confidence yet to say, hey, I'm going to nail that exam.
Yeah.
And wanting to pay $94 and risk, only getting 40 back if they decide they just aren't ready for it.
Yeah.
It was the timing in the past in the spring was fantastic, even in the winter, really late winter.
Yeah.
You knew you had a whole semester under your belt. You knew whether or not you really got that course or not, or whether you were close to getting there. And teachers, we could feel better about conferencing and really say, hey, you can do this. And now we've just got to, it's a wing and a prayer, hopefully. I'd like to see everybody really go ahead and take the risk because I feel like it's a good return on investment. If you, for $94, you have a chance to save $1,000 in tuition if you can get a 3 or 4 or higher. And, my son took it. He took took 3 exams, and he was able to get credit on 2 of them. And so people might think, oh, well, that was $94 wasted. I'm like, no, that was a $300 investment, and we saved $2,000 worth the investment.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So has this affected your teaching plan at all? Are you looking to do easier units first or anything,
kids it's interesting. More confidence? I wasn't, but I think College Board, and I'm assuming this is the same for every course because they revised all of our curriculum and released it in June, or actually end of June this year. But they are pacing it better so that we do start with like paragraph writing and then work our way back into essays. So they are, and making even the units focusing on kind of the simpler skills and then kind of ramping them up later in the year. The problem is, though, you still, like with AP Lit, we have 3 areas of focus, and we have to rotate among them. So I am getting a feel for who's got what skills right now. And, fortunately, I feel like everyone's really doing a good job of just putting forth a lot of effort right now. And I'm feeling really confident about all my students. There's not a single one right now that I feel like could not get a 3 or higher on that exam.
Yeah. So with that, you said you like to encourage the students. What is the biggest factor for you to encourage all the students to take the exam?
It's really not letting senioritis creep in.
Yeah.
It really is. Because if the course is designed, if you do the work, if you come to class, if you participate, you will learn. Because we do rotate the units so that we do keep coming back. And we even do a review on all of them at the end of the school year, a month before the exams. We're not cramming because you've learned it. We're just revisiting, and repracticing. So I feel like, if you're there, you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. So what are your thoughts on this move by the College Board? Do you think they'll see a lesser showing in students signing up for AP exams?
I do in ones that, there's certain courses that everybody – it feels, you either have to take calc, you take stats anyway, because you want to, get ahead in college, and it's easier to kind of, those are the courses that people tend to feel more confident. They're like, I've been in all on the track the whole time, and, math is math. I mean, honestly, calculus is hard, stats are hard, but I feel like students are kind of more comfortable in that wheelhouse, where I think with English, this is what I'm hoping. I hope everybody doesn't feel like they can't do English literature because they can. They've been doing it every year, up until Really, Lang, you kind of took a left turn and did a little bit more nonfiction, but you were still reading In Cold Blood and other novels. So you haven't lost those skills. It's just I'm now getting you used to – it's like the ACT. You got to get used to how they ask the questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I find interesting about English itself. It's like AP Lit, it can be teaching to – I mean, obviously we're learning in general how to understand literature – but a lot of it's teaching to the test because we speak the language.
Yes.
You know, I use English every day. I've been using English nonstop this entire day to communicate. But in other classes, like I was in AP Economics last year, and it's just kind of like the first week you learn the basics. The second week you're learning college-level economics, and you're just hopping right into it. Do you think that English teachers see such a high percentage of students doing well because of that confidence that they might have?
Yes.
Understanding.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, now the one good thing that College Board has pulled back on, they're not requiring you to know every literary term. And even you're not going to be quizzed on or tested on having used those terms. It's just so you know the function of it so you can interpret things from that perspective, you know. So you don't have to know what a synecdoche is.
Yeah.
But if you recognize it's a form of a metaphor and you're seeing a metaphor, then you're fine, you know. Yeah. So yeah, these are all skills we've all learned. It's just knowing the language of the AP testing.
Now, as far as a College Board, they kind of have a monopoly. I mean, obviously they have to compete. I mean, there's just a few big testing and things out there, but as far as like AP tests, really have a monopoly over that subject. Why do you think no other company tries to do what they do?
Good question. I guess it'd be the same for the ACT or SAT. You know, I think it is really quite, if you think about all the different tests, when in my day, you could test out of English, math, and science, and history, and that was about it. And just the spectrum of testing you can do in all the different courses is just, it's so big. I think it's just financially overwhelming, and to try to take that on, another company to come in. I can't imagine every student in the country. It's like the ACT testing. Why isn't there a third company? You know, so I think they do a good job of getting, the College Board does, of getting representation from high school and college professors. You know, so they do the scores that score the exams. Come from both levels. You know, they go for active and retired, trying to track them. So I think they do a good job of really still keeping their finger on the pulse. And in the past, I think it kind of got stodgy and stale, and I think they've really done a good job of going online and providing more practice opportunities.
Yeah.
We just need time to learn it because they released all this in the middle of the summer, and there's been a few bugs that are now out. And they've worked out, but here we are in the middle of teaching and to have to take time and try to figure out how we're going to apply this, you know. Easier just to use the paper files we already have.
So with any monopoly, of course, there are going to be some moral concerns, and as you have the ability to, you know, they could be charging so much more for these tests and no one would be there to compete against them.
Yeah.
So how do you think, how have you seen College Board balance their monopoly, making sure that it's, in a sense, fair to the students, but I mean, they're still a company at the end of the day.
They are, and you're right. I mean, it's an economics play if you think about it. Yeah, like you said, supply and demand. But I think here's the thing: you don't have to take their exam. It's not like ACT where you can't get in, you can't get scholarship money or get in, you know, into a college with the right score. So these people know if they can't appeal to people and make it accessible. They just will lose business. You know, they'll lose the number of people taking the exam. And they want to get as many people taking it, yes, from a money's perspective. But it also, the AP exams in every area are really a good measure on the rigor that college is going to be.
Yeah.
So if you can, even if you can score a 2 on an AP exam, yeah, you won't get college credit, but you'll
practice.
Be ready. Yes, good practice, exactly.
Practice, of course, taking the test and studying for the test.
Yeah.
So how do you feel on the, I mean, sometimes they do, I think, have a lack of material. I mean, they don't release the tests. Usually you can't really discuss the tests themselves.
Yes.
How do you feel about that aspect of the College Board?
We would like, and actually, you know, this is pretty, I see this on the chat rooms a lot, is that we're a little discouraged because even after the tests are done and it could be the scores are released, we as teachers get copies of the, of like if you take the AP Lit exam, I will get a copy later in the summer of your actual writing of your essays, but I won't know how you scored on each one.
Yeah.
Which is, then how can I tell whether I taught that poetry essay right, you know? So that's what we're, as teachers, trying to get College Board to be more transparent on the individual scores of the essays. So there's still some room to grow there. However, they are providing better practice tools online. We just have to get used to using them and find the time to use them. But once we do and incorporate that into our curriculum, we'll see ahead of time how you're doing on on this testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you end up having to, you read a whole bunch of essays written the way you taught.
Yes.
You have no idea if you taught
it correctly,
how they're
going to score it.
How they're going to do it.
Exactly.
So now AP recently changed up the scoring system. They changed it from a scale of 9 to 6. Did that catch you by surprise?
Yes. It's less room. It's less wiggle room, you know? Yeah. Yeah. You're either, you know, you could have been an 8 or a 9. Now it's a 6, you know? Mm-hmm. You could have been a 6 or a 7. Now it's a 5. So I can't, you know, it's got to be more precise grading, and we're still working on that. They just, I mean, literally within the past, I think it was a week and a half ago, they took the 2018 and 2019 exams and they rescored them based on the new scoring guide. I am, when I'm done with you, I'm actually going to print them out because they actually had to recalculate the scores from the 9-point scale to the 6. So I'm really anxious to see, to do the comparison, see. But the chat, the chatter I'm hearing online from other teachers is that it's actually more transparent. The rubric, you know, before it was very holistic scoring. You're like, yeah, you don't know why that grader gave you this versus that. Now with the
it's just specific.
Yeah, it's very specific.
It's a check mark, yes or no. This was literally in the essay,
exactly,
word for word or not. And I think that can make it easier for graders, but harder on teachers.
Yes, yeah.
Honestly, I think it makes it, you can look at an essay and you can know what the score is, but I think it makes it harder on teachers to kind of give that creative freedom.
Yes.
To students as far as writing a solid essay the way they want to.
Exactly.
The way College Board wants you to.
And I always look at every essay is like a snowflake. I mean, you can both write on the same topic, have the same evidence, but the way you wrote it could be different.
Yeah. So one last question here. How much effort did you have to put in over the summer there when you, when you found out over the new score, how much work did it really take to kind of change up the curriculum? How are you going to teach it and how to understand the score itself?
The entire month of July was lost.
Yeah.
Seriously, I really spent 4 weeks solid going back and revisiting every single assignment.
Yeah.
And revising even just the simplest of worksheets just to try to.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I do feel like it's stronger. I feel like it's a lot more cohesive. So I'm happy that I did it, but I'm still getting that feedback and seeing, I'm still going to do a little tweaking. You know?
Well, it's difficult in this transition period, but in the long run, I think the new scoring system could work pretty well.
Yeah.
I know personally, after working with the old scoring system on the 9 scale, in AP Lang, we did it all the time. You had to grade tests. You had to know what it took for you to get a 9. And it took me all year, and I worked hard. And I finally figured out what it took to get a 9. And I have no idea what it takes to get a 6 now. You know, I don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been a bit rough. But we'll figure it out.
Yes. I think, from what I'm anxious to kind of pour through these sample essays that have been rescored because, again, in the chatter of everybody's like, geez, it's almost kind of easier now to score a 6.
Yeah.
But let's see. I want to see what an AP scorer would say to that. You know, so I'm anxious to see their revised
scoring. That'll
be one
for next year.
Yeah.
Might have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's all we have time for. Yeah. Don't want to keep you too much from your busy schedule of
getting tacos.
Printing things out and getting tacos, of course, for parent-teacher conferences.
That's right.
Thank you so much for the interview. We really appreciate it here. For those tuning in live or in the future on FHN Today, please, or FHN All Day, please be sure to check all of the other content going out on FHN Today. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.